The Masked Singer isn't your everyday singing competition. Based on a South Korean format, it hides various celebrities, a term used generously, behind absurdly large and elaborate masks.
Each week, we learn the identity of the celebrity who gets voted off. So far, we have unmasked NFL star Antonio Brown and comedian Tommy Chong. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. And on today's Pop Culture Happy Hour, we are uncovering The Masked Singer. So don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Syfy. From executive producers The Russo Brothers, survival is extra credit in Syfy's new series, Deadly Class. Set in the unsanitized counterculture of the 1980s, a disillusioned teen is recruited into King's Dominion, a secret academy for the deadly arts. Based on the graphic novel by Rick Remender and Wes Craig, Deadly Class premieres January 16th on Syfy. Watch the first episode now at deadlyclass.syfy.com.
Welcome back. You just met Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And here with us in D.C. is Sam Sanders, the host of It's Been a Minute. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Linda. Good to be back.
And we should point out, Sam is here in part to fulfill his side of a bet that we made about fundraising. And happily for us, the Pop Culture Happy Hour listeners edged out the also wonderful It's Been a Minute listeners in responding to our fundraising drive. So according to the rules of Sam's and my friendly competition, I asked him to come and talk to us about The Masked Singer, which I think the first time you tweeted about it, you said you made it like 10 minutes into the, 10 seconds into The Masked Singer.
Oh, yeah. I had to revisit the show for you.
That's right.
Last night.
So we invited Sam to come and talk about The Masked Singer. But before we get to Sam, I want to start out with Stephen. There are ultimately 12 masked folks.
Right. There's like the hippo and the peacock.
And the bee and all that stuff. Of Sam's already loving it. And of those 12, we've now uncovered two, as you said in the intro. So we still have 10 to go who are still in the competition. What are your feelings about this show, Stephen?
At the end of 2019, we will look over the episodes of this show that we did, and we will say, The Masked Singer was this year?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
It wasn't like 2015. That is how long, A, this year is going to be.
Right.
And B, that is how short this show's shelf life will be. Mm-hmm. Now, I kind of enjoyed the silly spectacle of these very elaborately costumed performers coming out and then having people sort of debate who they could possibly be. In a way, like, it's so absurd that I kind of could see myself getting swept up in just the overall enthusiasm of it. I do think it has some structural problems, which we can get to, you know, just as like a competition. But I think the primary flaw of this show for me is in the judges' panel.
Because there is a judges' panel that kind of, it's a combination of the judges' panel and the studio audience, not a live audience because it's not live. It's all pre-taped.
Right.
So there is a judges' panel. They combine to see who gets voted off ultimately.
And the judges have very little function on the show. Their job is mostly to try to venture guesses about who the people might be. And the panel is Robin Thicke, Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls, Ken Jeong, and Jenny McCarthy. So, respectively, you have the talents who brought you Blurred Lines, Don'tcha, the TV show Dr. Ken, and many scientific falsehoods about vaccines.
Yep, Jenny McCarthy's that last one. Just
and they're not good. They're not adding anything at all.
Well, my question was like, do they ever get to judge? I kept waiting for them to give a score. They don't do that.
They apparently vote, and it goes together with the studio audience voting in terms of who gets eliminated.
They seem to make the final decision about who gets eliminated in the end.
I can't really tell what's going on in the show. But yes, they have some role, but they don't. Instead of judging, what they really do is yell out guesses. And my favorite thing is when they're like, I think the unicorn is Lady Gaga.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not Lady Gaga.
No, it's not.
At various points in the first two episodes, they guess Lady Gaga, Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's Tommy Chong.
Well, and also they guessed that one of them was Meghan Markle. And
I remember that.
Meghan Markle is not allowed to go out without pantyhose anymore. I seriously worked out.
She's not wearing that mask.
She is in the unicorn costume.
Dame Judi Dench. Dame Judi Dench.
Stupid. Waste of time.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and I agree with you, Stephen. I think the judging panel is pretty...
bleak.
Well, the thing is, the judging panel is just as B-list / C-list as the...
Oh, they're as likely to turn up in the costumes.
Yeah.
As
Yeah,
the judges are all people who could theoretically be in the costumes. It's true.
And my rule for a judge on a show about singing is that the judge must have at least some point in their career built their career on singing themselves.
Mm,
and
sense.
Two of them, to my knowledge, don't do that at all, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Jenny McCarthy and Ken Jeong.
I don't think Ken Jeong's released an album yet.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them has made an album. I could be wrong. So, Glenn,
Glenn, what did you think?
I want to deal with the noises that you're making, which I sort of knew that you would.
Uh-huh.
I presume that you are in agreement that Jenny McCarthy is a problem.
She's a big problem.
Other than that,
problem.
Jenny McCarthy, Wahlberg. Wahlberg.
Yeah. Yes, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, tell me about.
Well, let me consult my copious notes that I took. Oh, here it is. Here's the only one I took. You want to read that for me, Sam?
Who cares?
Who cares?
It is indeed a piece of notepaper that says in large letters, "Who cares?"
It's just the fakery atop the fakery. Why are we pretending that they're actually singing live? They're not. It's all pre-recorded. Why are we pretending that when they take off their masks, they haven't just cut because their hair is perfect? People in those costumes would be sweaty as hell, and they'd be pink-faced, and their hair would be all screwed up. It's all fake. It is a show made to check Twitter by. There is so much filler in this show. It is like, I thought of it as 2 hours that I was checking my phone while the TV was on, mm-hmm. as opposed to the other way around. As the costumes go, wonderful gowns, beautiful gowns. That's it. That's it for the show.
Uh-huh.
It's got nothing. It's a waste of time. It's a monumental waste of time.
But you weren't even drawn in by trying to figure out who the unicorn was?
Absolutely not. Yeah. The opposite of that, what you just said, uh-huh. was what I was. Uh-huh. Drawn in, I was drawn out.
Yeah.
I was forced from the room. Hated it.
You know, I am really shocked to find that this was not for you.
Ugh.
I have to say, considering how much Glenn already does not like competition reality shows, does not like singing reality shows, well, likes Drag Race.
Sure. There's talent involved.
Which also involves extravagant costumes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe there could have been some appreciation for the extravagant
when
costumes.
When it ends in Tommy Chong, I mean, that's nothing good ends in Tommy Chong.
Well, also, the pacing of Drag Race is great.
Mm-hmm.
The show moves at a decent clip. And the thing I kept saying about this show is, it's an hour per episode when it could be half an hour per episode.
Oh, my God.
That could be 10 minutes. Well, this is my thing about, and we should say, part of the reason why we're talking about this, if you're sitting there right now thinking, why are you talking
If you're Glenn and wondering why we're talking
hit.
About this.
This show is, your mom watches this show,
it's
America.
Hit. The show is a large, the show
Mine
is
doesn't,
a,
but.
The show is a sensation, as we say, relatively speaking to how network television now does. The night that it came on, it immediately shot to the top of trending topics on Twitter because people were talking about guessing who the people are, which I think is one of the things that's a problem about this show for their hopes to keep it going. Because what happens is, so there's 10 people left. There exists a Twitter consensus about who almost all of them are.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is now you're waiting to find out that Twitter is right, partly because the clues are way too easy.
Oh, my
There's
God. The Tommy Chong one was just...
The Tommy Chong one, I mean, I am not a Cheech and Chong person, so I didn't get all the pot smoking. But once I saw that Twitter had said Tommy Chong, it was like, oh, sure, of course. So if you happen across a Twitter guess that is right, it's pretty obvious pretty quickly that it's right, because then it kind of all falls together. Like the bunny, which was clearly a boy band person... It seemed from the hints it was a boy band person. And then the last line of his intro was, the winner, it's gonna be me. And that that tells you instantly that it's an NSYNC person and narrows it down to, like, it ain't Justin Timberlake.
Right.
And so now you're just waiting, like, to see who it is. But mostly people already know who most of these people are. Not all of them, but, like, everybody on Twitter says the B is Gladys Knight. And then, like, as soon as they say it, it's like, oh, yeah. And then all the clues fit, and then you feel like you know.
Do you think, though, in later episodes, if they haven't all been pre-taped already, that they'll make it harder?
Well, they have been pre-taped already. That's part of the problem.
Oh, so we're done.
You're talking about future seasons, though.
Right. And the thing is...
Yeah, you know, season 12.
Well, here's the thing. I have no idea. One of my big questions about this... Glenn, I just want you to know this raises big questions.
Sure it does.
One of my big questions about this is whether people will stick to it over the course of the entire season. Because if they're gonna eliminate one person a week, it goes really slow. Mm-hmm. I'm just watching Glenn's face during this entire conversation.
It is going to get less interesting.
It's going to get less.
Imagine. let me throw something out here. Okay, so Twitter is an echo chamber, and a thing, believe it or not, can be trending on Twitter and still not matter.
No.
to
oh my
most
gosh.
How
people.
Dare
course,
you say that?
Of course. I am not suggesting
and
anything
different.
And
most of the people watching, wouldn't you say most of the people watching it are not doing this whole Twitter thing? They're just watching television like people. And so they're not getting this overindulgence of
things.
Like,
oh, you
think? Like, wait. I mean, that's a serious question. Like, do you think 50%, 60%,
80%?
I don't know.
This is one of those shows, and there are a few that are like this, that I can't imagine why you would watch it by yourself. Like, that I can't imagine why you would watch it without that social element.
Yeah.
What would you be doing?
I know, right?
I was thinking last night watching, I was like, this would be a fun show to have on during a very low-key party, because you can mute all the commentary, mm-hmm. bring it up for the performances, have a drinking game around voting to see who is who. Because, like, I mean,
but
like,
then not find out for 12 weeks.
Yeah, but like, the show allows a lot of space and time for you to do other stuff.
Yeah,
it does. That Sam has found the silver lining of the Masked Singer. It has many slow sections in which you can do other things.
Like, whenever you see Nick Cannon, go get a drink.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about Nick Cannon.
We have not.
Boy, he's the host of the show.
But when you talk about how little the judges have to do, there is a moment when we are first introduced to the bunny. And
Stephen brought receipts. I just want to say.
And so the bunny comes out, and Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls leans over to one of her colleagues and says, "Who is that?" And I'm like, I don't know, a guy in a bunny suit? You don't have any other context clues.
Also, her role is just being the one judge who's always like, I don't know who it is. I'm so tired of her doing that.
She actually brings up one of the structural problems with this show that I mentioned early on. Nicole Scherzinger was on Dancing with the Stars, mm-hmm. And was very, very successful on Dancing with the Stars because Nicole Scherzinger, among other things, is a dancer.
Yep. Yeah.
So you put her on against, like, Steve Wozniak and Buzz Aldrin, like, she's gonna win.
Yeah.
So on this show, you have some of that same thing where you only have a handful of people who are actually professional singers. You have a lot of shows where the deck is stacked very, very unevenly in talent, where what's interesting is finding out that, like, this NFL player can kind of sort of sing.
As opposed to a gymnast winning Dancing with the Stars,
exactly.
Which always feels mm-hmm. like
a
cheat.
Or an NFL wide receiver who's done footwork their entire lives.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Glenn's not won over yet.
No. Well, so, the other thing we should acknowledge, as we mentioned in the intro, this is based on a South Korean format, and that's incredibly successful. And my close college friend, whose wife is Korean and who has spent some time in South Korea, was talking about the fact that the format over there is a little bit different. The mix of contestants is a little bit different. It's more of them are actual good singers just singing outside their genre. It doesn't have the same kind of goofy C-list. And I should say, there are people on this show who are not C-list. Do not take this to be shade at Gladys Knight. But a lot of them are, which means I also wonder, why is Gladys Knight in a singing competition against Tommy Chong? Like, that just... That just doesn't make any sense.
She's got a bad manager.
Yeah.
She needs a better manager.
Or she's trying to reach a new audience.
Well,
that's
what they said in her intro. They said she's trying to reach a new audience. And it is kind of interesting if that is Gladys Knight and if, as many people have speculated, the monster is T-Pain, then they are both doing something different from what people know them for. And that, I think, would have been interesting. If it was just a bunch of singers who were outside their genres, and you took, like, the good singers, right? Like, there's nothing C-list about T-Pain or Gladys Knight, if that's who those people are. If that was what they were doing, and you kind of just had to figure out based on the voice, and they weren't giving these super obvious clues, that might be a show that I would watch, and maybe that's what the original's like.
You know what would also be interesting is if there were some sort of setting where you could watch T-Pain sing and realize he's really good. Like a like a tiny
tiny desk. What do you call it?
Concert of some kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a widely viewed tiny. In fact, if that is T-Pain, I blame NPR Music for the fact that that he felt like he wanted to continue to make that point to people. Because if you've never seen the T-Pain Tiny Desk concert,
it's amazing.
It was widely viewed.
Yeah, he's great.
He can sing,
and he's great, and he can sing. Yeah. And you know, even when he's not in a monster costume. All right. Yeah. Sam, do you have closing Masked Singer thoughts?
Oh, do I, Linda? You could call them 10 things I hate about The Masked Singer, 10 questions for The Masked Singer, 10 reasons we're all doomed. Mm-hmm. One, why do The Masked Singers walk on stage with these large, elaborate faces set in the stage? They walk through these enlarged mouths on these ominous faces built into the stage. The culture is vomiting them out into the world for us to gawk at. Two, what if we put masks on our politicians before they had to go vote or give speeches? Would that end the shutdown? Would that make us nice again? Would that make them honest? What if this whole show was an allegory? Three, who thought it was appropriate for the for this show to label Jenny McCarthy Wahlberg a, quote, pop culture guru?
Mm-mm,
who?
Seriously.
Mm-mm.
Four, what are we doing in this moment? Is this show a true display of our deepest depravity or our purest humanity?
Preach.
Five, in making these competitors wear a mask, do we admit that our culture of social media fame and celebrity worship makes us all present the false self to the world, and in masking their contestants, is The Masked Singer just asking us to take off the mask of online performance?
Mm-hmm.
Six, why are they dragging the show out so much? The episodes are an hour. They could easily be 30 minutes. I am right on this. Seven, why does Nicole Scherzinger play so dumb on this show? Why? Eight, why does no one give the first Pussycat Dolls album the respect it deserves? Nine, why not just make the panelists ask 20 questions of the singers? That could be more helpful. 10, is this show the Fiji water bottle woman of reality shows?
Yep.
Trying to increase its presence and stardom by loose association or proximity to bigger and better celebrities. But you know what? When I hear a judge say, maybe it's Meghan Markle, I honestly say it's beneath the Fiji water woman, so I take that back.
There we go.
Thank you.
The Fiji Water Woman was kind of awesome.
If you are not familiar with the Fiji Water Woman, she was standing near celebrities on the Golden Globes red carpet getting into various photos, and she became a bit of a an internet sensation.
Yeah.
The Masked Singer has just justified itself with that.
I was just going to say,
if that came out of this horrible, horrible show.
I have nothing else to say. It's really amazing that out of our fundraising victory.
Out of darkness comes light.
Came that genius list of questions and thoughts about The Masked Singer. So I think it's fair to say that brings us to the end of our show. You can find Sam on Twitter at Sam Sanders. Thank you all for being here.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Sam, for watching The Masked Singer.
That was so cathartic.
Talking about it with us. And of course, thank you for listening. We'll be back here on Friday. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter for original writing, recommendations, and everything making us happy every week. So we will see you all right back here on Friday.
This is Peter Sagal. When we began Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we dreamed that our rude jokes would be, in the end, the appropriate way to talk about the news. And look, it happened. Listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on the NPR One app or wherever you listen to podcasts.